Hey, grandkids, welcome back to another edition of Stunt Granny here. We are just so elated to be with you for another week and ready to try and talk as little about the TV product as humanly possible. And here with me to talk about it, as per usual here recently, Mr. Dusty. How you doing, Dusty?
What am I thankful for Thanksgiving? We're spending it with you beautiful people, huh? Yes, indeed.
Oh, man, that was one of the great things about the first couple of Survivor Series, actually. Like, my parents actually let me out of dinner and bought the pay-per-view and let me watch it there that night. I was always glad to get away from the kids' table because I had nothing to talk to about at the big person table.
Right. Well, how many kids were at the kid table for you?
Yeah, well, now I try to sit at the kids' table so I don't hear what dumbassery is happening at the big kids' table.
Well, obviously. Mm-hmm. I would rather deal with little kid nonsense than big kid nonsense. But
for sure. And talking about big kid nonsense, well, maybe one of the biggest kids of them all, she went up and bought herself a wrestling company, won this Dixie Carter, is the starting point for us here this week.
Oh,
and,
it's a whole lot of nonsense.
She had a little speech there at the beginning of Impact, which I did not watch until I caught it on YouTube today.
Mm-hmm.
And
I try to watch Impact about as much as I try to watch fucking, I don't know, like the Root Canal channel. But I did happen to see it when you linked it to me, and oh boy, do I have some things to say about it.
It was actually from the description that, because I had read about it since I completely not taped TNA last week because I was too busy, you know, having a life and going to soccer and volleyball and other good stuff that's
mm-hmm.
Worth doing, not watching TNA. But I was surprised. After reading the write-up, I was expecting that to be some big, long speech, really. And at least the one on YouTube, it was only a little over 2 minutes.
Right. She certainly did enough damage in 2 minutes, though.
Yeah, she did. What type of damage do you think that she inflicted?
Well, I got four bullet points here I want to cover. The first one is when Eric Bischoff was replaced in WCW by Bill Bush. This is September, I think, of 99. Bruce Mitchell wrote what was easily the best column he ever wrote, "Dear Bill Bush," and then detailed a whole host of things that Bill Bush should do to turn WCW around. The first thing on that list, and of a plethora of things on the list, the first thing was, fire the first person who suggests you go on television, because they are not looking out for your best interests. Well, here we are, 10 years later, and somebody suggested, "Hey, Dixie, you should go on television. Those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat history's mistakes." So,
well, do you think there's a possibility that she only ends up making this one appearance and then that's it? Or do you think she will be infected with the bug and continue to be on television?
That's what I fear, is that she's going to get the TV bug now. She's going to become a mark for herself and become a regular character on television. I hope I'm wrong. I pray to God I'm wrong. but that's how I see this happening.
The one problem that they have is they have been so shifty with who the power structure is in that company. Like, I mean, even within this year, like,
right.
I'm not even talking about, you know, past January 09.
Right.
I would have to agree with you in that facet, in that, you know, Mick's not the power guy anymore. Jarrett hasn't been on TV for months.
Yep.
And Cornette's gone, so you can't fall back on him to be the commissioner or whatever they fucking call them.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if she doesn't technically have the bug, if they want to keep an on-air power personality, she's got to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I can see that being sadly true.
And she's got all the personality of a comatose Linda McMahon. So that's going to be great television.
Oh, well, I don't know if she reached Linda McMahon proportions quite yet. I'll give her a little bit more time on that front, at least.
Okay.
Oh, so what's the second bullet point, then?
Okay, second bullet point was she said that there are a lot of people who like to tell you how to run a wrestling company. Now, this irks me because, well, for a couple reasons. First of all, I believe that you and I, and anyone who listens to this audio, knows how to run a wrestling company. Because it's really simple to run a wrestling company. It's very simple. The basic tenets of pro wrestling, appealing to people's emotions and finding wrestlers who can talk and have charisma, you know, decent matches and good storylines and all that stuff. I'm pretty sure that any person listening to this audio can book a wrestling company halfway decent. And the arrogance of people inside wrestling who don't believe that really irks me. And also, the second sub-point to this is that this presupposes that she knows how to run a wrestling company, which obviously, over however many years that she's owned TNA, she's proven she has no clue. So,
yeah, she actually said that in the speech. Did she say 4 years or 6 years that she's owned,
like,
the company?
Six, I think.
Okay.
Six long, gruesome years. And have proven she has no ability whatsoever to run a wrestling company. So, of course people are going to tell her what to do. You know?
Yeah, I think the biggest, I mean, what, is the biggest, did they have the deal, the TV deal with Spike before she came on board?
Oh, God,
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm just throwing that out there. Because, you know, I'm just trying to figure out for myself what would have been her biggest, contribution, really, to the company.
Right.
Like, I get the feeling, well, God, have they really, fucking A, I can't believe that company's been around that long, for God's sakes.
No. But then again, what I've always said about WCW is, I was always amazed at how long they stayed in business. I mean, there were several years before the NWO angle where they could have easily gone out of business. And then they kind of lucked into something big, and then once that ran into the ground, they were right back to square one of sucking. So, like, WCW's success was all just basically an accident. And TNA reminds me of that. They just leech on for no apparent reason.
Shit, what was the main crux of that point there? Why am I having a brain cramp right now? Because you just we're talking about oh, that she has no idea how to run a company.
No.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if it's going to run into any other bullet points, so I'm going to go ahead and hold off on the other thought there. But yeah, I mean, even if she was the one that brokered the deal to get them on Spike,
right?
You know, there has been no other progress under her since then.
And I believe that any money mark running that company could have got the same deal done. So that's not really anything special. That's
Yeah, I mean, Spike obviously wanted wrestling, but they wanted it on their terms rather than on somebody else's terms. And Vince, you know, despite any knockings around that even I have on him, he is, well, at least him and his wife are good business people for the most part.
Yep.
So, you know, they weren't going to put up with the garbage that Spike was going to give to them, especially considering the amount of viewers that actually get that station. So, yeah, just on that front, you know, just on that alone, not even talking about the wrestling itself, you know, she has done nothing to improve the company, really. What? Well, okay, if you maybe want to count the fact that they go outside of Orlando sometimes for pay-per-views now. I mean, that should really be something that is done on a monthly basis. Like, they're running enough house shows.
Yeah.
Now that you should get out of that market, you know, to be more nationwide, really.
Right.
And even to try and, like, I don't know if they're, if the WWE has exclusive contracts or anything, but, you know, they need to stop coming to, you know, at least crap places. Like, when they come to Ohio, they don't even go to a major city. Like, they don't actually, they're not actually even in Dayton. They're outside of Dayton, which is the, I don't even know if it's the fourth largest city in the state.
But they don't
you
go
know,
there,
and,
so just outside of it.
Well, and it's not even just outside of it. It's like a half hour, 45 minutes away from Dayton. The location that they go to. Yeah, like, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of almost in between Dayton and Columbus.
Gotcha.
And I'm not going to drive an hour to watch a goddamn TNA house show, that's for sure.
No, absolutely not.
But, you know, maybe if they had a pay-per-view at one of the, and they had, there are smaller venues. I mean, even if they played as homerish as this sounds, Well, okay, I'm trying to think of places in town here in Columbus, but, the Palace Theater here in Columbus. Like, a lot of the smaller, larger comics play there because it seats about 1,500 or so. And that was about what they, well, no, it's about it was about 5,500 that was at UC Irvine. But I think it's about 1,500 people that they fit in Impact. So, I mean, that kind of a place would do it. Kent, and this is why I was going to say homerish, Kent's basketball arena, A, at least you're closer to Cleveland. And B, you have a bunch of college students there that would easily get talked into this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. College kids starving for entertainment. They should hit up every college town in America. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, there are bars that do that kind of thing where they don't go outside of, like, campus areas.
Right.
You know, and a lot of the college venues aren't nearly as large as something like, you know, the Schottenstein Center here for Ohio State. Like, you know, most of the colleges are closer to, like, UC Irvine. Where it's, you know, kind of a smallish school, so, like, that kind of a venue would work perfectly for them. So, yeah, I mean, my example's homerish, but, I mean, it could work any number of places, I'm sure.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. I think we kind of have gone on long enough with that point. What's point number three here for you?
Okay, she asked them to support her 100%. She can't allow people to question her. Now that is just out and out insanity to me. That's not running a company, that's running a dictatorship. Can't people make suggestions? Hey, instead of this, why don't we do this or this? Well, she is cutting off all lines of communication by doing it that way. That breeds resentment among your employees. You have to have an open line of communication, and you have to show your employees that you are listening to them. Even if you don't follow through on what they suggest, listen to them. That makes them feel like they're a part of the process. It's not that fucking hard. This is common sense. Business management 101.
I was like, seriously? Like, you're going to go with that? Like, just incredible, really. Even suggestions, like you said, you know, you need, sometimes you don't think about, enough angles sometimes, and you need some other people to bounce ideas off of.
Right.
So, yeah, that, and I mean, I'm sure she, what she wrote, did she have any important position? What was it, Panda Energy?
Yep, Panda Energy.
I mean, I'm sure she didn't just solely make decisions for her company just by herself.
No,
I'm guessing she had a CFO and a, well, I don't know if she was a CEO or what her position was, really.
Right.
But I'm sure there was
several people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. That went into some major decisions. And, I mean, it's just annoying. And it'll be interesting, too, to see if people keep track of that idea, like whether that resentment gets built up in the locker room or not from her not listening to them. And, I mean, obviously she's not going to be the one, per se, that listens to them.
No, but she's suggesting... And this is the speech that Jim Cornette got when he got the boot on the way out, was you got to be 100% behind the creative direction. So what she's saying is that you can't disagree with what Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara are telling you to do. And now let me repeat, that's Vince Russo, who can't spell and can't speak English because he's like from Brooklyn, you know, talk like this. And Ed Ferrara, who once wrote Duckman or some fucking thing. Those are the two people who you can't question. You need to blindly follow those two men as they march you right off a cliff. That's what she's telling her wrestlers.
Yeah, you've got to follow a guy that, the old Oklahoma thing still is a little silly in my book for Mr. Ferrara.
I have no respect for Ed Ferrara after the whole Oklahoma thing. No respect. That is disgusting to me.
And that is the guy that you are being told to follow.
Yep.
And I don't know, did he even attempt an apology for that or say, maybe I shouldn't have gone there?
I've never seen it.
Okay, well,
I've
then
never,
he's scumbag then.
I really don't think he would. He probably has no clue why what he did was wrong. Because he's not an intelligent person.
Yeah, sure. And even though WCW already had their problems, and a lot of them prior to them arriving. I do not think that they helped keep WCW from going off the cliff.
I've always said that if they didn't kill WCW, they got in the hearse and drove the hearse off the cliff.
Yeah, the least they could have done is hit the brakes and use the emergency brakes to try and keep their jobs and hides a little bit longer, but they were certainly incapable of that.
Exactly. You know, at least have an emergency evacuation before you fuck things up, but that was not to be.
Well, there was an emergency evacuation. All the wrestlers saw what was coming, and they went to the WWE before they were forced to go there.
Right. Well, and that is a good segue to my fourth point. This was basically a love-it-or-leave-it speech. Eric Bischoff gave one of those. Going back to Eric Bischoff, he gave one of those in WCW. And Raven took him up on the offer. Said, okay, if I don't like it, I can leave. Well, I don't like it, so I want to go to ECW. And Eric Bischoff was man enough to let him go. Because Eric Bischoff might have been a piece of shit and a prick and blah, 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 but he was a man of his word. And he let Raven go. Dixie Carter does the same thing. And five wrestlers say, okay, please, I want to go anywhere else. And she doesn't let him out.
Story, but who were the five that I remember reading that now?
Only two I know of. Homicide and Frankie Kazarian.
Oh.
Another three names I haven't seen.
Yeah.
But this is another thing. Your employees need to trust you. They need to believe that your word is good if you're going to be their boss. She has basically just admitted now that you can't believe anything she says because she told you that if you don't like it, you can leave. So people said, okay, I don't like it. I want to leave. And she wouldn't let him go. So now how can you believe anything she says?
You can't really.
So now what's going to happen? I bet you anything what's going to happen is that Kazarian and Homicide are going to get buried. Not their fault. They wanted to leave. But they're going to get punished for it.
I was looking through some other TNA headlines trying to figure out if I could find the names of who else had asked for their release.
Okay.
So I was laughing at some other stories about... Okay, yeah, those were the only two people named there that I can find right now.
Yeah.
And you know what, Kazarian, I bet you could probably, he's fucking burned bridges everywhere. What the fuck did he do when he was leaving the WWE?
Yeah, he has not made a lot of friends in the business, but he could probably go to ROH or something.
Yeah, and he would probably be a little bit better off for that.
And Homicide certainly would be better off.
Oh, no doubt. They have so piss poorly booked him. Like, there was no reason that there shouldn't have been an extended feud between him and Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand that Hernandez is on his way up and he probably would have gone over, but...
Well, who cares?
Exactly. Like, I mean, how long were those guys together? And it was like a one match on Impact, like maybe 3 minutes
right.
or something like that. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You want to talk about fucking up a longtime partnership.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that just has feud written all over it. Plus, you let Homicide do some mic work. Help him get himself over. No, they're a bunch of goddamn idiots.
And they could have had Homicide lose the feud in a way that would have made him look good, though.
Oh, yeah.
And then maybe he wins this next feud against somebody else. This is simple.
Yeah,
I'm exasperated. This is just ridiculous. We should not be having conversations like this.
Because what feud did he move into right after that? And they kind of, he unmasked Suicide, but then wouldn't talk about it, and then he's moved on to somebody else already.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. And then just another thing that to me... and I know I posted about it, but I think it goes to the trust issue.
Mm-hmm.
Her caving in to giving Shannon Moore a chance because of a Twitter campaign.
Yep.
What business person would go, oh, you know what? I could just see my boss. You know what? I'm going to give up our biggest client because a bunch of people tweeted me and told me to give up our biggest client.
Right.
It'd be like, no, you're just committing fucking suicide. Like, now, literally, you're just asking for people to tweet you and just to make you cave. Like, literally, if you get enough people on the job, like, I mean, I was being sarcastic about, you know, us being their bookers, although, good Lord, we've obviously pointed out we should be.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It can happen. Like, I mean, it's there. It's on the web. It's not going to go anywhere. Like, it's easy to do. And, I mean, if we just did the... fucking bloated fucking roster game anyway, there is no need to have somebody else on your fucking roster.
If they add somebody to the roster, it has to be a big deal. Not Shannon Moore. I think, is one of the worst workers of all time. Because he can't talk. He can barely wrestle. He's just one of those mid to late 90s flippity-flop wrestlers with no psychology, no sense of order. He's horrible. I hate Shannon Moore. But you hire him because of a tweet campaign? Tweedly-D campaign? Jesus fuck! So angry.
Yeah... were definitely more than enough problems with Dixie's little speech there.
Right. All these problems in 2.5 minutes. Can you believe it?
Yeah, that's some pretty impressive scorched earth that she put there. and I did love how apathetic, like, the whole, like, they didn't, everybody looked like they were at a mandatory class, that they were, you know, it was like one of those school functions in high school, where you got out of class, so you were happy that you were out of class. But you still didn't really want to fucking be there.
Yeah.
And that was about the look on everybody's face.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, Don West's face is so hilariously awesome in this. I sense a man who is half asleep, who has complete contempt for her. It's beautiful.
He should, because, you know, he was one of the few guys working to improve himself. And for his hard work and diligence, he was yanked from TV and now is managing a guy who, I don't know, was he even on TV last? Oh, that's who Homicide moved on to, was Amazing Red.
Right, a glorified jobber. He's managing a glorified jobber.
Yeah, who, for some reason or another, has a belt that some
right.
people seem to think is in any way important. I'm not quite sure why.
It
has been more than proven at this point that no matter whether the TNA got founded on the X Division, all that good garbage, yeah, that belt doesn't really mean a whole lot right now.
Right.
It's the world title, the tag titles, and that's it, really, as far as any type of pecking order goes.
Absolutely. And credit where it's due, they've done a good job with the tag belts.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, they're keeping them in the spotlight more. I still don't think the tag division, like, they always try to push how good their tag division is, and I'm like, you don't really have any more tag teams than the WWE does. It's just that they have their four teams split between two shows.
Right, right. If they had just one brand, which, by the way, don't get me started, and it would look about the same.
Yeah, well, they would be smart to just move that to one brand along with the, well, never mind. The Cruiserweight belt is as bad as beating to death the X Division belt, you know.
I was talking to a special one about this. His idea was have everything be one brand and then just have each show specialize in something different. Like Raw can feature all the heavyweight main event guys, and maybe SmackDown could feature the mid-card guys and the tag teams, and maybe ECW features something different yet. You know, just switch it up like that.
Yeah, I mean, you'd still have to, I would have to think that they'd still have to throw in some of the big names there, or else they might get in a little bit of trouble.
Sure, sure.
They're obviously not too concerned with ECW.
No, not at all.
In terms of that, but, you know, if one was the mid-cards, they'd still have to have some type of representation on there, you know. And, I mean, I almost think that they do that half the time, honestly, with SmackDown.
Sure.
No matter how much I, or we say that that's the best one on TV right now, they certainly do not treat it that way.
No, not at all.
But, yeah, TNA certainly could not do anything like that. So,
right.
So, yeah, tag titles, Amazing Red, X Division,
yep.
Homicide, Dixie Carter. Yeah, I guess it'd be interesting to know who those other three people are. That,
I'd love
you know,
to find out. I pray to God that comes out.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. It has been a little bit of time at this point since that's happened. I'm kind of surprised the names haven't come out at this point.
Right.
Oh, well.
Well, so that's what's wrong with TNA. That whole speech really just encapsulates what's wrong with TNA. So,
well,
that's how they do it.
I think there's something else wrong with TNA.
What's that?
Mr. Hulk Hogan.
You know what, though? Not to defend Hogan, but, I mean, the ship is already sinking, so.
Yeah. Now, I was amused, obviously this goes back to another post that I had there about him just throwing out any and fucking everyone's name just to try and get people to listen.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, he had the perfect platform when he was pushing his book to also talk about it, and he didn't.
Right.
I mean, I can't believe a promoter as good as him actually dropped the ball on something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But luckily, the worst show that you could possibly get on terrestrial radio, and sometimes I think he's still on Sirius on Howard Stern station, fucking sometimes, but really, Bubba the fucking obnoxious piece of garbage, I can't fucking host a radio show. The Love Sponge did help him out as much as he could.
Right.
Oh, I've heard that guy's show, and it is just painful.
Why is it bad? I've never heard it. I don't doubt that it is bad, but...
He has no direction.
Okay.
You know, like, he never has a point. The jokes are always lame. They're recycled. It's not creative. I don't think he takes real phone callers' calls.
Okay. Gotcha.
You know, when you have, like, a set, you know, like, any talk show can take, like, almost all the talk shows, what they actually do is they have people call in and they talk to them off air, and then they air the conversation afterwards to make sure that everything goes down fine.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
mm-hmm.
He's kind of in that category. It's just like, ugh. Like, it's just so ingenuine and just so bad.
Gotcha.
And I really haven't listened to some of this stuff. Recently, it's just like, oh, just stop. There's a reason I don't worry about picking up the Sirius side of the SiriusXM merger.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's about all I have on him, really, for the most part.
It's funny, though. He's just, he is the ultimate politician. Trying to stay the spotlight for as long as possible.
Yep. And I was, oh, yeah, the other thing I was amused, but I read something about him thinking about trying to be there for 3 to 5 years, and I'm trying to pull the article up, but of course my computer's running like trash again, so
yeah.
I can't pull it up. I think I read it sometime today, and I'm like, seriously, like, I mean, is... We've already pointed out that he has physical limitations.
Right.
I mean, is there any way possible that you think that even he could milk out even 3 years out of this deal?
Not at all. He's got a year tops. Just a little, you know, say goodbye party kind of thing. And then he's out the door. There's no way he can make it 3 years.
Yeah, and, oh, of course. Of course I can't pull the story up. Oh, well, who gives a shit, really?
We are live, folks.
Yep, and we would be more than thankful to take live calls right now, because that would be damn amusing. I don't know, one last, TNA note, I think, here that we could, touch on. my favorite piece of white trash from my birthplace there, Kurt Angle, cleared of all charges.
Yes. The only thing I really have to say about this is that it in no way clears him of being a white trash, trailer trash piece of scum. This just means that in this particular incident, he was less guilty than the other stupid person that was involved in it.
Yeah, I think we should just go ahead and set our clock for when Kurt Angle goes crazy again, and I think I think that will be under a 365-day time frame.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be awesome to be able to post that. How long will it take Kurt Angle to go nuts and just have a countdown clock until it happens?
Because it's going to happen. There's going to be another incident, I guarantee it.
Yes. Yep. So, yeah, good for him. He's off the hook for the time being, and,
yay.
Yeah.
My hero.
So, yeah, I guess maybe a couple of minor, or at least one minor WWE point, because you had another topic, but I think we should probably save that one for another time here.
Okay.
Because
it
sounded interesting, and we have gone a pretty decent chunk of time right now.
Yeah, and the other thing is we can hash that topic out between ourselves a little bit more than me just springing it on you on the same day, so.
Hey, that's how we roll. We have never said that we do a whole lot of planning beforehand on these things.
Fair enough.
But anywho, Jamie Noble retires.
Probably to be an agent now, would you say? A road agent?
I would think so.
Okay.
I've always, and I mean, didn't we just bring him up as one of those guys that that they could use in ECW to help, you know, put over other wrestlers and teach them how to wrestle?
Definitely. He and Evan Bourne should have been traded for Sheamus, was your exact suggestion. And that would have been perfect with me.
Yeah, even if he just works with Evan Bourne, and not that Bourne really needs a whole lot of working with,
no, but
honestly.
It would have helped out. Would have been just fine.
He certainly could work with them. Because I always thought he was far more amusing on the mic than he was really given much credit for.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, he actually worked a hillbilly angle fairly well.
That was incredible. I love that. That was awesome.
Because most of the times you go a little too stupid, like you end up like... way too redneck, what's his name, who's like Jay Dizzle now or whatever the fuck they're calling him. Thank God he's not TV.
You mean Jesse? Like from Jesse and Festus, that guy?
Yeah, Jesse.
Okay.
Yeah, because you go that, or even as much as, I kind of like the singing part, but, you know, they kind of kept in that same kind of hillbilly mold when they had, what's his name? The outlaw, Jesse Wales, or whatever his name is now.
Okay.
Murdoch. Trevor Murdoch.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I don't think he played his character poorly, but it was still a bit of a rehash of what the WWE tends to do with those style of characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Noble's take was a little refreshing. He was, you know, maybe a little bit smarter, let's say.
Smarter redneck. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah. And Oh man, so yeah, I even somebody like Bourne, I think he could still work with him. I mean, they don't really give Bourne almost any airtime whatsoever with a mic in his hand.
Well, they have nothing for him to do. So if you have a series of matches with him against Noble on ECW, people are going to start going, "Oh, okay, this Bourne is really something."
Yeah. Unfortunately, that is not to happen, and he is on, he's on Team Kofi, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, he really, that was kind of weird. On Monday, you know, they have the whole Swagger Miz thing going on, which is fine, but A, I don't understand why you want your teammate to look bad.
Right.
No matter how much of an issue you might have with somebody, if I was teaming with them at Survivor Series,
yeah,
I would want them to be kosher with me.
Exactly. You gotta work together and get through the match.
Yeah. And really, they don't have any issues with each other to really do that. So why the Miz would want to cost Swagger the match with Evan Bourne, which is the other sad thing. I think Evan Bourne has won two matches. Well, he's beaten The Miz and Swagger, but didn't Swagger cost Miz the match that Bourne beat him in?
I think so.
So, yeah, like, every win I think that Bourne has had on TV has been a cheapie.
Sure. Yeah, and we've talked about this several times. They're telling us that he's a bum because of how they use him. So
yeah.
The wins that he's getting are just cheapy, even Steven numbers, you know? And
yeah.
He's never really made to look like anything special. So, blech.
Yep. So, and that's how Jamie Noble retires.
Well, you know, I have a lot of...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I have a lot of respect for Noble, and sad to see him go.
Yeah, did they actually mention something on Monday that Sheamus retired him or anything like that?
I don't remember.
Did that... I fast-forwarded through so much of that show that I can't remember, because I even fast-forwarded through Sheamus's match, because I'm like, yeah, great, squash match, I'm just excited. I understand their purpose, and I agree that they need to be had sometimes, but if, you know, you're going to make a trade for somebody, or somebody's going to come over, shouldn't they be a big enough deal already that they shouldn't be in a squash match?
It's just like reintroducing him. If you do it once or twice, it's fine. But
okay. Well, this week was twice. I mean, I'm not really trying to bust Jamie Noble's chops, but really in the realm of the WWE, he is a jobber, so.
Right. He's the gobbledygooker.
Yep, he may as well be.
Uh-huh.
Alrighty, well, I think that does it.
That should be it.
Rock
well,
and roll. Do you want your little sign off here?
All right. Well, for Kevin DeFringo and Laura Stone, I'm Dusty Giebink, and this has been another rim rocking, jaw dropping, death defying edition of Stunt Granny Audio. We'll see you next time.
And don't forget that sippy time beer.